Welcome everyone to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is Plugin Configuration Tool version 8.0. Today's presenters are Steve Reed and Robert Baretti. Steve has been providing technical support to IBM customers since 1995. Over the years, he has supported a wide variety of IBM software products. He currently supports IBM HTTP Server and WebSphere Web Server Plugin. Robert has been with the IBM Corporation for over 15 years, providing technical support to IBM customers. He has over 10 years' experience supporting the web server plugin component and is currently an advisory software engineer with L2's WebSphere application server support. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Steve. You may begin.
Thanks, Dave. Hello, everyone. My name is Steve Reed. Rob Baretti and I are both members of the IBM HTTP Server and Plugin Support Team, and today we will be teaching about the Plugin Configuration Tool, or PCT. This presentation will take a full hour, and there will be plenty of time at the end for questions and answers. Please notice that we have provided our email addresses here so that you can contact us later with any additional questions that you may have. Please go to page 2. Okay, in today's presentation, we will have 4 parts. I will give the presentation for part 1 and part 2, in which we will talk about various web server configuration scenarios, what the supported web servers are. We'll talk about standalone nodes. We'll talk about distributed nodes. And we'll also then, in part 2, get into the plugin configuration tool itself. What is PCT? Why do we need this? How do you install it? How do you use it from the graphical interface? And how do you use it from the command line? Please go to page 3. Then Rob will take over and talk about parts 3 and 4. He will go into more details about how PCT works under the covers. He'll talk about the ANT scripts that get used, the input parameters that get used, and also he'll talk about the configure web server script. Later, he'll talk about, in part 4, how to troubleshoot PCT. What are the log files that get created? Where are they located? What kind of information do they have? He will also talk about known problems and issues that we know about today and defects that have already been fixed. Page 4, please. Okay, let's get started with part 1, web server configuration scenarios. Page 5, please. WebSphere Application Server version 8 supports these types of web servers. Of course, it comes with IBM HTTP Server version 8. We also support Apache Web Server version 2.2, Lotus Domino Web Server version 8, the Sun Java System Web Server version 6.1 or version 7.0, and also the Microsoft IIS version 6 and version 7. Page 6, please. There are 3 main web server configuration scenarios. One is called local standalone, one is local distributed, and then we have remote. And we'll talk about each of these in greater detail. Page 7, please. Okay, for local standalone, that is where the web server is on the same system as a standalone WebSphere application server, like a WebSphere Base or a WebSphere Express. In this case, there is no WebSphere node agent. So the IBM HTTP Server administration server is required for administering IHS from the WebSphere admin console. In this scenario, plugin propagation is done by simple file copy from the WebSphere directory to the plugins directory. Page 8, please. For local distributed, this is the case where the web server is installed on the same system as a federated WebSphere application server node. So this would be a WebSphere network deployment environment where the deployment manager is perhaps on a different machine, but the web server is installed on the same system as the federated node. In this case, there is a node agent, and that will manage the IBM HTTP server. So there's no need to have the IHS admin server installed. Plugin configuration is propagated from the deployment manager to the node agent by a node synchronization, and then the node agent copies the plugin config into the plugins directory where it is used by the web server. Page 9, please. A remote scenario is the case when the web server is on a separate machine that does not have WebSphere application server at all. It can be a standalone type WebSphere. It can be a federated or distributed type WebSphere. We see pictures here of both examples. But the key is the web server is on a different machine. In this case, IHS admin server is required for remote administration of the IHS. For IHS, plugin propagation is from the WebSphere application server to the IHS admin server over the network. For non-IHS web servers, the plugin configuration must be copied from the WebSphere application server or deployment manager to that remote web server machine. Page 10, please. All right, let's talk about part two, using the plugin configuration tool. Page 11. So what is PCT? Well, plugin configuration tool, or PCT, is part of the new WebSphere customization toolbox, or WCT, in WebSphere application server version 8. PCT is used for the following purposes. It's used to accept user input about what web server type you're using, where the plugin is located, and then it's used to run various ANT scripts that will do various tasks, like add plugin entries to the web server configuration files, create the Configure Web Server 1 script, and optionally create the IHS administration server as well. Page 12, please. So why do we need PCT? Well, in version 7.0 and prior, the installation of IBM HTTP server and plugin would automatically do certain things. It would automatically add the entries into the web server configuration file. It would automatically create this Configure Web Server 1 script. It would automatically configure the IHS admin server. In version 8.0, the IHS plugin installation does not automatically perform these steps any longer. So that's why in version 8 and later, we need this plugin configuration tool to actually perform those tasks. Page 13, please. How to install the plugin config tool? Well, you need to download the installation images from Passport Advantage site. And on this slide, I've provided a link to a document that has instructions on how to do that. It also has the part numbers for the various packages that you can download. Keep in mind that WCT, the WebSphere Customization Toolbox, is in the WebSphere Application Server 8.0 Supplements image. And there's actually four parts to that, so there'll be four parts you need to download. Then you'll use the Installation Manager to actually install WCT with the PCT feature, and we're going to show that. You'll need to set the repository location. You'll need to select that you're installing WCT package, and then inside that package, you'll specifically select the the PCT feature. Page 14, please. Okay, so this is the installation manager, what it looks like, and the first thing you'll need to do after downloading your packages is go to the file and go to preferences. Page 15, please. And in preferences, you'll need to select repositories, and you'll need to add a repository pointing to the packages that you have downloaded. Okay? In this case, it shows here that I'm pointing my repository to the supplements 1 of 3 package. Page 16, please. Then you'll go back to the main installation manager screen and click on install, page 17. And this is what it will look like. It will show you the packages that are available in that repository to be installed. Now, if you look at this, you'll notice that I've already installed WebSphere Application Server. I've already installed the IHS web server as well, and I've already installed the plugins, okay? So in this case, the only piece that I still need to install is the WebSphere customization toolbox. So that's what I've selected. Page 18, please. There will be a license agreement that you need to read and accept. Then click Next, page 19. And it will ask you for the installation directory. Notice the default location for WCT is under the WebSphere directory. It will create a subdirectory called Toolbox. Page 20, please. And inside the WCT, there are several features. The specific feature that we're focused on is just the first one, Web Server Plugins Configuration Tool. So select that feature and click Next. Page 21. You may get some pop-ups asking you to identify the location of the other supplements disks, Disk 2 and Disk 3. So if you do, just browse to those directories and select those. Page 22. And finally, you'll get a summary page showing what you've selected, and you go ahead and click Install. Page 23, please. After the installation, you will have the opportunity, if you want, to go ahead and run the WCT right now. You can select that. Otherwise, you can select None and then run it later. Then you click Finish. Page 24, please. So if you didn't run WCT automatically right there, how do you start it later? Well, if you're on a Windows platform, go to the Start menu, go to All Programs, IBM WebSphere, WebSphere Customization Toolbox, Tools, and then the Web Server Plugin Configuration Tool. If you're on a Unix platform, you'll need to go to the WCT directory that's under the Toolbox directory. And inside that WCT directory, you go ahead and run the WCT script as shown here. Page 25, please. So when the PCT comes up, there are two main parts of it. In the top section, we will be configuring the location of the plugin installation. Then in the bottom part of it, we will actually be creating a web server definition where we select the web server type, we specify the location of the configuration file for that web server. We configure the IBM HTTP admin server if needed, and we specify whether this is a local scenario or a remote scenario. Page 26, please. So when you bring up WCT for the first time, it will look something like this. It will show a list of the various tools or features that have been installed with your WCT. You'll need to select the specific tool that you want, in this case, Plugins Configuration Tool, and then click the button to launch that selected tool. Page 27, please. Okay, so this is what PCT actually looks like in the graphical. Okay, again, you see the top section where we specify the plugin runtime location, and the bottom section where we will configure the web server definition. So the first thing we need to do is we need to click on the Add button in the top section. Page 28, please. It asks us to provide a name for this plugin location, and the name can be anything you want. And then we need to provide the actual directory, plugins directory, where the plugin was installed to. This is the default location under WebSphere plugins. This is a big difference. In the past, the plugins directory used to be under IBM HTTP Server. That's no longer possible in version 8. So your plugins directory will be somewhere else, perhaps under WebSphere plugins. Page 29, please. In my case, I chose to put it under even a different subdirectory, version 8.0.64-bit. So in my case, I needed to use the Browse button to actually go to the directory that I specified at install time. Then click the Finish button, page 30, and we're back to the main PCT screen. And we can see that the web server plugin runtime location has been added in the top section. Now, the Create button has been enabled in the bottom section. That was not enabled before. You have to create the top part first. So we go ahead and click on the Create button. Page 31, please. And the first thing that it asks us is, what is our web server type? Okay, all the web server types are listed here, so just select the one that you're using. In this case, I was using IBM HTTP Server version 8. Click Next. Go to page 32. Okay, thank you. And the second thing that it asks us for is, where is the configuration file for that web server? So we browse to the location where the web server configuration file is located. In this case, it's the httpd.conf file. We also need to specify the port number that the web server is listening on. This does not actually configure that port in the web server. That should have already been done separately. But what you're doing here is you're putting in whatever port number the web server is using. So port 80 is the default. If you're using some other port, put that in here. Please go to page 33. If you're using IBM HTTP Server, you will be asked if you want to also set up the IBM HTTP Server admin server. You can enable this, and you can provide an administration port. 8008 is the default. You also need to provide a user ID and password that WebSphere Admin Console will use when trying to connect to the IHS admin server. This does not need to be a real user ID on the operating system. It can just be whatever user ID and password you want to make up. Page 34, please. If this is a Unix platform, you will be asked what user ID and group should be used to run the IHS admin server. This does need to be a existing valid user ID and group. If it's a new user ID and group, you can select the little checkbox right there, and it will create the user ID and group for you in the operating system. Page 35, please. If this is a Windows platform, you will have the opportunity to set up the IHS admin server as a Windows service. You can have it run as a local system account, or you can specify that you want it to run as some other user account. You also can specify whether it should start up automatically or manually. The default is automatic. Page 36, please. Next, you'll be asked to give a name for this web server definition. The default name is Web Server 1, but you can change it to whatever you want. If you're going to have multiple web servers, it's a good idea to use the host name of this system as part of the web server name so that you can remember which one is which. Page 37, please. So we talked about remote scenario or local scenario earlier. This is where you'll need to specify that in the PCT tool. If the web server is on a different machine that does not have WebSphere application server, you need to select remote and provide the host name or IP address of the application server or the deployment manager. Then click Next, page 38. If the web server is on the same system as the WebSphere application server, that is a local scenario. So you need to choose local, and you need to provide the path where WebSphere application server is installed. Notice it's the WebSphere app server directory. Page 39, please. For the local scenario, you will be prompted to select the profile on that system that will manage this web server. So you'll have a drop down there and go ahead and select App Servo 1 or whatever the profile name is. If this system also has the deployment manager installed, you will see that in the list. Do not select the deployment manager. You need to select the actual app server node instead. Page 40. So you'll see a summary screen showing some of the choices that we made. Go ahead and click the Configure button. Page 41. If all goes well, you'll have a success screen like this that will have some additional instructions. It also has an option there to launch the plugin configuration roadmap, which is additional documentation. So go ahead and click the Finish button. Page 42, please. So we're back to the main PCT screen, and we can see in the bottom section the Web Server 1 definition that we just created. In addition, there's a tab in the middle that we can use to look at the response file that corresponds to the choices that we made. We'll talk about response files later, but if you want to see the options in the response file for the choices that you just made in the GUI, there's a tab right here. Just click on that. Page 43, please. So what if you don't have the GUI? What if you need to install or run PCT from the command line? How do you do that? Well, it will require a response file with the correct options. We have a page in our info center. I've provided a link here on page 43. And on that page in the info center, there are several examples of response files that you can look at. In addition, on your system itself, under the toolbox WCT directory, we give you a PCT_response_file.txt file. That file is an example response file with many comments. It's well commented so that you can read through there and decide which options are applicable for your environment and use that as a model for creating your own response file. Once you have your response file created, you need to go to the WCT directory and run wctcmd.sh. Specify the tool that you're using, -tool PCT. Specify the location of your plugin, where the plugins directory is. Give it a definition location name. Again, that can be made up. And then specify which response file you will be using. Page 44, please. As we mentioned earlier, if it's a federated node and you're running IHS on the same system as a federated node, by default, that is a managed scenario. That web server will be managed by the WebSphere node agent. However, some people don't want it to be managed by the node agent. They want to have an unmanaged node and use the IHS admin server anyway. And that's fine. That's perfectly fine if you want to do that. If you want to use the IHS admin server instead of the node agent, do not use the configure web server 1 script, because running that script will set up your web server as a managed web server. Instead, what you'll need to do is in the WebSphere admin console, manually create an unmanaged node, and then go to the web servers page and manually create a web server linked to that unmanaged node. Then it will be an unmanaged web server that connects to your IHS admin rather than using the WebSphere node agent. Page 45, please. Okay, so that's the end of my section. I'm going to turn it over to Rob Baretti now.
Thank you, Steve, for explaining the three different configuration scenarios: local standalone, local distributed, and remote. In addition, thank you for providing the details surrounding why the plugin configuration tool is needed in version 8 and how to install and use it. Now that Steve has covered these topics, let's take a deeper look into what is happening under the covers to complete the various configuration tasks. So let's please proceed to slide number 46. Okay, so the plugin configuration tool's main function under the covers is to invoke ANT scripts, which perform specific configuration actions. There are three main plugin ANT scripts. These scripts are located in the plugin directory indicated here. The first main script is the 99S Bootstrap Plugins ANT script, which is executed to configure the plugin CFG.xml and the appropriate plugin binary within the web server. Now, which specific plugin binary gets configured is determined based on the web server type chosen, example IHS, Sun 1, etc., including the OS family and the 32-bit or 64-bit web server architecture that's detected by the tool. Next, if PCT is used to uninstall the plugin configuration, the uninstall ANT scripts are called to complete this operation. The last ANT script on this slide is the 98S configure web server definition ANT script, and this script is called by PCT to create the configure web server batter SH file. This file is then used to create the web server definition within the WebSphere administration console. Let's now proceed to slide number 47 to discuss some additional ANT scripts which are specific to configuring the IBM HTTP administration server. Okay, so again, there are three ANT scripts located in the IHS directory, which I noted here. These scripts are called by the plugin configuration tool to configure the IBM HTTP administration server for local standalone and remote configuration scenarios. The create admin PASSWD ANT script is executed to create the user ID and password that's needed to authenticate the WebSphere administration console with the IBM HTTP administration server. This user ID and password is required when using the WebSphere admin console to stop and start IHS, or when making configuration changes within IHS, including the propagation of the plugin XML to IHS for the remote configuration scenarios. Now, the next script on this slide is only used if the OS family detected is Windows. The create WinServices ANT script is executed to create the IBM HTTP administration service within the Windows Services panel. Finally, if it's a Unix platform, the setup ADM ANT script is executed by PCT to create or define the OS user and group within the IBM HTTP administration server's configuration file called admin.conf. In addition, this script adjusts OS user and group permissions on the IBM HTTP server's main config file, which is httpd.conf, so that the IBM HTTP administration server can write to that file to make changes to it. So how does the plugin configuration tool know how to find all the ANT scripts which I just discussed? Well, let's proceed to slide number 48 to begin answering this question. Okay, so basically, PCT utilizes a simple XML script registry located in the plugins config action registry directory, which I indicated here. There are several XML files located in this directory, the first one being the configure plugins XML file. This registry file contains a list of all the plugin ANT scripts that are available for configuring the plugin. Now, this includes the 98S configure web server definition ANT script and all the 99S bootstrap plugins ANT scripts, one for each of the supported web servers mentioned earlier by Steve. Okay, so moving on to slide number 49. Okay, in addition, there is an unconfigure plugins registry XML file in the same plugins config action registry directory I mentioned on the previous slide. This file contains a list of the plugin ANT scripts that are used under the covers by PCT to uninstall the plugin. Again, all the ANT scripts for each of the supported web servers are listed here. So let's proceed now to slide number 50, where I will discuss another important registry XML file used by PCT. The plugin configuration tool utilizes this additional registry file, and you'll notice here that this one is located under the IHS post-install directory. This registry XML file is named IHS admin config registry.xml and specifies the three IHS-related ANT scripts which I discussed previously. Again, they are the create admin PASSWD, the create WinServices, and the setup ADM ANT scripts. So now let's move on to slide number 51 to dig even deeper into what the plugin and IHS-related ANT scripts actually do. Okay, so previously, I provided you an overview of the ANT scripts and a list of the XML registry files that PCT uses to determine which ANT scripts to call. So what execution actions do these various scripts perform? Well, that's actually a good question. So let's proceed now to slide number 52, where I'll start answering this question, beginning with the IBM HTTP administration server ANT scripts. Okay, so let's start with the create admin PASSWD ANT script, which I discussed earlier. So this script, when called, executes the IHS htpassword.exe command with the following arguments shown here. Basically, it creates the admin.passwd file under the IHS config directory and then adds the user ID and password you indicated in the PCT GUI or coded in your response file. Next, on a Windows platform, the create WinServices ANT script executes the httpd.exe command shown here to install the IBM HTTP Administration Server in the Windows Services panel. Note the arguments passed include the location of the IHS admin servers admin.conf configuration file and the name of the service being added. This Windows service is what is used to stop and start the IBM HTTP Administration Server. So let's now move on to slide number 53. So finally, we have the setup ADMANT script. As I discussed earlier, this script is executed when the OS family detected as Unix and you have selected to configure the IBM HTTP Administration Server from the PCT GUI or in your response file. This script executes the setup ADM binary, which is located under the IHS bin directory with the following flag arguments. Now notice the dash create flag is passed to create that admin OS user ID and group, and both the admin.conf and the httpd.conf files are referenced in the line here. But note, however, that the dash create flag is not passed if you specify an OS user ID and group that already exists on the system. So as noted earlier by Steve, there's a panel in the PCT GUI which allows you to check a box that says you actually want to create the user ID and group. If you don't check that box, then PCT is going to assume that that user ID already exists on the system and will not pass the create flag. So this concludes my discussion regarding the IBM HTTP Administration ANT script execution. So now let's move forward to slide number 54 to talk about the other plugin ANT scripts I mentioned earlier as well. Okay, the 99S Bootstrap plugins ANT script execution is critical to the successful configuration of the plugin CFG.xml and the plugin binary within the web server type that you've chosen to configure. So let's proceed to slide number 55. Okay, so let me just first start off by giving you a little bit of background information before we move forward with actually discussing the execution of the 99S Bootstrap plugins ANT script. Okay, so when you first install the plugin component using the IBM Installation Manager, you will notice that there is a templates directory, an Etsy directory, and you may also notice both a 32-bit and a 64-bit directory installed under the plugin's home directory. The templates directory contains the default plugin CFG.xml file. In addition, the default plugin key files are located under the Etsy directory. And finally, the plugin binary files are located under the 32-bit and 64-bit directory. All of these files are very important when it comes to the execution tasks of the 99S Bootstrap plugins ANT script. Okay, so I think now that we have the background information covered, let's proceed now to slide number 56. Okay, so unfortunately, due to some time constraints today during our presentation, I'll only be able to cover the execution of the 99S Bootstrap plugin script that's related to the web server type IHS. If you would like to learn more about script execution for the other web server types, please feel free to email me directly with your specific questions, and I will attempt to address them very speedily. Okay, so with that said, let's talk specifically about the 99S Bootstrap plugins IHS ANT script. So what does it do? Well, it creates the web server directory using the name you specified in the PCT GUI or coded in your response file. Example in this case is web server 1. This directory actually does get created in two locations, the first location being under the plugin's home config directory, and the second being under the logs directory. Now note, the one under the logs directory is used for the http://plugin.log. Okay, it then copies the default files that I discussed earlier to the newly created web server directory. It copies the plugin cfg.xml from the templates directory and the plugin key files from the Etsy directory to the newly created web server directory. Okay, so let's proceed now to slide number 57. Okay, if the OS is Unix, the script executes the change mod and change group OS commands to adjust the permissions on the plugin log, the plugin cfg.xml, and the plugin key files it previously copied to the config web server directory. If it's a ZOS platform, it also converts ASCII to EBCDIC for the httpd.conf file in order to make changes to that file. In addition, the script makes OS bit mode determinations to determine what architecture to use for the plugin binary location. And finally, based on these OS bit determinations, it will then append the appropriate load module and the WebSphere plugin config lines to the IHSHTTPD.conf configuration file. So notice here the 32 bits directory path in the example, along with the reference to the plugin CFT.xml it copied from the templates directory to the newly created web server directory under /config. So this concludes my overview of the 99S Bootstrap plugin's IHS ANT script execution. So let's now proceed to slide number 58. Okay, so now let's shift gears a little and talk about the 98S configure web server definition ANT script and its execution. Slide number 59. Okay, so when the 98S configure web server definition ANT script is executed, it will set the install type as remote, local standalone, or local distributed. Steve had mentioned those three config scenarios, and I've also mentioned them earlier as well. It is this ANT script that actually will set those install types based on input parameters that were passed to it by the plugin configuration tool. So a couple of quick notes here. First, when the install type is local, whether local standalone or local distributed is passed by PCT to the script will depend on the WebSphere profile you selected in the GUI or coded in your response file. Very important to note that. Okay, the plugin configuration tool is able to determine if that WebSphere profile that you selected belongs to a federated node. And if yes, it will pass local underscore distributed. And if not, it will pass local underscore standalone. Because as Steve had pointed out in the GUI, you only have an option to select local. So how does the tool know whether it's local distributed or local standalone? Well, it's based on that WAS profile that's selected. Okay? So the main function of this script is to create the configure web server batter sh file. This file can then be used to create the web server definition within the WebSphere administration console. The configure web server batter sh file is created in the bin directory under the plugins home directory. Okay, so let's move on to slide number 60. If the install type is remote, the 98S configure web server definition ANT script will actually create a cross-platform scripts directory under bin and several additional directories under that directory related to cross-platform configurations, in this case OS390, OS400, and Unix. So the ANT script then creates an additional configure web server sh file in each of these directories. So just a quick note here that if the WebSphere application server machine is using a different operating system than the remote web server machine, the corresponding configure web server sh file located in the cross-platform scripts directories should be used to create the web server definition in the WebSphere administration console. So you just want to make sure that you're actually using the correct configure web server script if you're dealing with that cross-platform type environment. Okay, so let's proceed now to slide number 61. Okay, so remember that I had mentioned earlier that the main function of this script is to actually create the configure web server bat or sh file. It's also very important to point out here that if the install type is actually local standalone, not only does the configure web server bat or file get created, but it also gets executed automatically to create the web server definition within the local WebSphere standalone node. So in addition, the ANT script also executes the gen plugin cfg.bat or sh file from the WAS home app server bin directory to automatically force the generation of the plugin cfg.xml. Now notice that the dash propagate flag is included and set to yes here. This will force the plugin cfg.xml to also be propagated to the web server directory. Neither the plugin CFG file nor the configure web server file will get invoked automatically for local distributed or remote configuration scenarios. So I'll discuss those scenarios next. So let's proceed now to slide number 62. Okay, so for the remote standalone or remote unmanaged distributed environments, the configure web server bat, it gets created, but it does not actually get executed. So instead, what you would need to do is you would need to actually copy this file over to the remote app server machine or the remote DManager machine, depending on whether this is a standalone or distributed environment. So, and then once it's copied over to the remote system, you would then execute that script from the WAS home app server bin directory to actually create the web server definition in the WAS console. Okay? So also for remote distributed environments, you need to synchronize the DManager changes within the with the federated WAS node as shown here. Although the web server is remote and unmanaged, the assumption is that the app server node is federated, and that's why you need to sync the change. Okay, so let's move on now to slide number 63. Okay, so for local distributed environments, this script, again, it does not get executed automatically. Only in a local standalone case will you actually see the script get executed by the tool automatically. Okay? So instead, it must be copied to the DManager machine and run from the app server bin directory. And again, the DManager changes do need to be synchronized with the federated WAS node. Okay, so for additional information on the different configuration scenarios and whether the, you know, whether the script gets executed or copied or whether or not you need to copy it to the remote machine, we do have a roadmap available that's provided with the installation located under the roadmap directory. And if you bring that up, there's a lot of additional information in there about using PCT for the various configuration scenarios. So let's now proceed to slide number 64. Okay, so now it's time to shift gears and talk about input parameters. Input parameters are the keys needed to achieve a proper configuration of the plugin, the web server definition, and a proper configuration of the IBM HTTP administration server. So let's proceed now to slide number 65, and we'll take a closer look at the importance of input parameters and where they actually come from. Okay, so Steve earlier walked you through using the PCT GUI, and all that information that you entered in the GUI screens is then passed to the AntScripts in the form of what we like to call input parameters. Input parameters can also be coded manually in a response file and passed to the AntScripts that way. It's these input parameters that are then used by the scripts to complete all the configuration actions which I discussed previously. Okay, let's now proceed to slide number 66. Okay, PCT does provide a sample response file that includes a description of all the available input parameters with syntax examples. Steve had mentioned that, and I do want to mention it again here. You can actually reference this example file, and it will help you create your own response file with the appropriate input parameters. In addition, when you use PCT to configure the web server plugin, the tool automatically creates its own response file with all the input parameters that it actually did actually pass to the AntScripts, and this is actually a really good resource for future installations. And Steve had shown you on the GUI where that response file can be viewed. Now, the location of where the file actually gets located on the disk is under the config web server directory noted here. Okay, so let's proceed now to slide number 67. Okay, so here is an example of what the response file input parameters actually look like for a local underscore standalone installation. So notice here that the config type clearly states local underscore standalone. Also notice that the app server profile and WAS path location is defined. In addition, you can see the web server type, the architecture, and name of the web server definition. Also, the IBM HTTP administration input parameters are included here as well. Okay, so let's now proceed to slide number 68. Okay, so for IBM HTTP server configurations, in addition to PCT passing input parameters to the AntScripts based on GUI inputs and values which you coded in your response file, the AntScripts also get some input parameters from the postinst.properties file. Okay, which is located here. Now, the IHS server path and port information, JISGit and IHS Java directory information, even the Windows services name, et cetera, are included in this file. So as you can see from the slides that I just covered, you know, input parameters are really the key to a successful configuration. If wrong values are passed to the ANT scripts based on incorrect input parameters, whether you coded them in your response file or for whatever reason, if PCT ran into an issue and passed an incorrect parameter, the configuration of the plugin, the IHS admin server, et cetera, will surely fail. So it's very important that the input parameters be correct. Okay, so let's now proceed to slide number 69. And this is a good segue into the next part, which is PCT troubleshooting. Okay, so let's now proceed to slide number 70, and we'll get right into that. Okay, so for those that have used PCT already and will be using PCT in the future, it is important to admit that, you know, failure messages produced from the GUI or outputted to the command line are often insufficient to identify the real culprit behind why the tool failed. Typically, you'll only receive generic failure messages indicating that the tool execution failed with a reference to review a log for more details. Now, Level 3 development is working very hard to try to improve the tool's output messages that you see. So please be patient with us. We are working on that. But in the meantime, it is important to know what logs the tool and ANT scripts write to, and it's these logs that actually do contain the more detailed information about why the tool actually failed. Okay, so there are basically five main logs of importance which are noted here, and we'll go ahead and move on to slide number 71, where I'll begin discussing these further. Okay, so the first log is the web server plugin configuration log, and this is the main log that PCT actually writes to. Okay, all repository registry actions performed by the tool are actually recorded in this log, including any failures that the tool encountered. This also records input parameters passed to the ANT scripts as arguments, so it's another good place to look to see what actual input parameters were passed to the ANT scripts. They will be recorded in this log. Okay, so let's now proceed to slide number 72. Okay, so in addition, the underlying functions and operations of the WebSphere customization toolbox are written to an additional log file called wct.log. Now, this log will sometimes be requested by IBM support when the previous log discussed on the last slide does not provide enough information on why the tool failed. So don't be surprised if IBM support does come back and ask you for that file. Information is provided on this slide to help you locate this file on your Windows and Unix platforms. Okay, so let's go ahead now and proceed to slide number 73. Okay, the three main logs the ANT scripts write to are discussed here. Okay, the first is the configure web server log based on the web server type, example IHS. Configuration results of the execution of the 98S configure web server definition ANT script is recorded in this log. In addition, execution results of running the configure web server.bat or SH script for local standalone environments is recorded in this log as well. Next, we have the install plugin log based on the web server type. Example again shows IHS. The 99S bootstrap plugins ANT script writes to this specific log. Installation results related to the creation of the web server directory, along with the configuration results of the plugin cfg.xml and the plugin binary within the web server are recorded in this log. Okay. The input parameters that are passed by PCT to the ANT script is also recorded in this log as well. So again, another good log to look at to see what input parameters actually did get passed to the ANT script. Okay. And so finally, we have the IHS admin configuration log. This is pretty self-explanatory. Basically, the configuration actions and results of the three ANT scripts, create admin PASSWD ANT, the create winservices.ANT, and the setup ADM.ANT. The execution results of all three of those scripts are recorded in this log here. Okay, so now let's proceed to slide number 74 to discuss additional must-gather files to collect. Okay, so here's a pretty long list of 11 important files to collect, some of which are only needed depending on the web server type you have chosen to configure. The admin.conf is needed if you're configuring the IBM HTTP administration server and run into a problem, we would want to see that file. the httpd.com file, which is the main config file for IHS and Apache web servers. The postinst.properties is needed by support if you had a problem configuring the IHS server. The web server response file, obviously we'd want to see that because that actually tells us what input parameters were used. The plugin.cfg.xml, plugin config file. Plugin-cfg.lc is an important file if you're configuring IIS. The application host.config, if you're configuring IIS version 7, this file will contain configuration information about the plugin, so that is an additional config file we want to have. As well as the metabase.xml if it's an IIS version 6. The configure-web-server.bat file, we'd want to see that so we can verify the input parameters that's coded in there. The magnus.conf and obj.conf if this is a SUN1 environment, as well as the notes.ini for Domino web server configuration. Okay, so this concludes my discussion about must-gather and logs, and now let's move on to slide number 75 where I'll talk about some known problems and issues. Okay, as mentioned earlier, the 99S Bootstrap plugins ANT script is responsible for detecting the architecture of the web server. So here is a common problem we see on Windows 64-bit platforms when using a response file that does not include the web server install arc argument. 32-bit IHS on a Windows 64-bit must use the 32-bit plugin binary. Therefore, this argument with input parameter set to 32 is needed to ensure that the 32-bit plugin binary is actually configured. Otherwise, you'll end up getting a 64-bit binary configured, and as a result, you won't be able to start your web server. So another issue we see frequently is the failure to create the IBM HTTP administration server on Windows, but this is usually due to a simple oversight. The user ID that you choose to configure the IBM HTTP administration server must have Windows rights. Those two Windows rights that are required or act as part of the operating system and log on as service rights. So it's very important that the user ID has both those rights, otherwise the Windows service may not complete. In addition to that, the domain, if you try to use a domain user, that can also cause the Windows service to not be created. We do recommend using a local system account instead. Okay? So let's now proceed to slide number 76. Okay, so while attempting to debug problems, one thing that we have observed, if you do choose to configure the IBM HTTP administration server, the PCT tool may actually not even create the web server plugin configuration.log. Instead, we've observed that all the PCT-related tasks are recorded in the IHS admin configuration log. So Level 3 Development is looking into that issue. Just be aware that if you don't see this log created, go ahead and check the other log. It's also been discovered that in IHS FixPack 3 that there is a bad setup ADM file on a Solaris platform. This can actually cause the configuration of the IBM HTTP administration server to fail. PCT will normally just report a generic output message saying that the tool execution failed. And Steve has actually written a tech note that describes this and actually how to resolve it. So I don't have a lot of time to go into the full details of it, but there is a link here that you can reference at your own leisure. So if you experience that problem, you can see how to address it. Okay, so let's now proceed to slide number 77. Okay, so before I begin talking about known APARs, I do want to recommend that whenever possible that you use the latest FixPack version available for PCT. This will actually ensure that you do not hit any of the known problems we are already aware of. So just do use the latest FixPack that's available whenever possible. So basically there are five main APARs opened against PCT. The first three are noted here, the first one being PM38957, which is fixed in FixPack 1, and then we also have PM 45371 that's fixed in FixPack 1 as well. PM 46369 is fixed in FixPack 2, and the links again are included here for your reference if you want to read up on those APARs and see what the various solutions or workarounds are prior to upgrading to the FixPack. Okay. Unfortunately, I won't be able to discuss all of them in detail, so the links are here for your reference. So let's go ahead now and proceed to slide number 78. Okay, finally, the two additional APARs are noted here. The first one is PM43260, fixed in FixPack 2. And then we also have PM59957. Now, development does not consider this a defect and actually has accepted a feature request, and the feature request is R014222. The workaround is basically to manually remove the Windows service using the command that I've noted here. Okay. And then last but not least, there is another known problem not included in this presentation. I was not able to actually get it into the presentation in time. But basically, the sample response file that Steve mentioned and I mentioned as well does include a syntax example which shows Sun1 as being a valid option for web server type. This is actually incorrect. The valid option instead should say Sun Java System. So if you are using a Sun1 web server and you want to configure the plugin, please make sure that you specify web server type as Sun Java System. Otherwise, the plugin XML and plugin binary configuration won't actually succeed, and the web server directory will not even be created. So please keep that in mind. And that response file will be updated in the next fix pack as well. Okay? So this concludes PCT troubleshooting. Let's now move on to slide number 79. Okay, both Steve and I covered a lot of material today and referenced a lot of files and directories. So this reference tree includes a list of all of the relevant directories related to the presentation material for your quick reference. So Steve and I both hope that you find it useful when going back through this presentation or when you're looking for the pertinent files or logs in your own V8 environment. So we'd like to leave you with this directory tree to find that information quickly. So let's move on to slide number 80. Okay, this chart includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. DeveloperWorks offer in-depth technical information. The events links on support pages point you to webcast and conference information. Visit WebSphere.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up in the learning curve quickly. And the ESR tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. And the My Support link on all product support pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you. Okay? So at this time, I'd like to turn the presentation back over to Dave.
Thank you, Steve and Robert, for a great presentation. At this time, Lori, we'd like to open the lines for questions.
And at this time, there are no questions from the phone lines.
Okay, thank you, Lori. I believe all the questions that were posted to the group chat have been answered. So at this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable. We appreciate your participation, and I hope you'll join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Steve and Robert, for presenting today.